the general tense silence. Into which arrived Blake, Downey, Jack, and Dean, with Alien close behind them. Rankine was one of the few sec men who had aligned himself with the Baron, and he had assumed command for want of anyone else. However, he was at a loss as to how to break the deadlock, and the relief on his face was evident when Blake and Jack picked their way through the line to arrive at the front of the barricade.
Thank fuck you're here. Where are the rest of you?
After Harvey. Never mind. Get this finished. Alien not happy.
Yeah, his heart ain't in it.
The other Ville dwellers on the barricade had spotted their Baron, and the atmosphere had noticeably lifted at the sight of the big man.
Listen, we need to act before it becomes obvious and has a bad effect. What's the score?
Rankine filled them in on the details, and Blake listened carefully.
Okay, the first thing is to get people armed. Have you raided the armory yet?
Spotting the furrowed brow in his fellow sec man, Blake obviously knew the answer to that question.
All right, get some people back there. Meanwhile, I think we need to do some scouting. How much hardware do we have right now?
Rankine made a quick head count.
Well, we got 8 sec here, so 8 blasters, 9 including me.
Dean had made his way forward with Downey. Blake turned to him.
What do you say, kid? Covering fire from the marksman here and a few of the boys? Or you, me, and Jack make a little scouting foray?
Dean took a look over the barricade. The lines had been drawn in the main stretch of the tunnel at the center of the Ville, with a distance of 200 yards between the two barricades. Not a lot of room to play with, but with plenty of cover in the shape of empty units and overturned barrows.
More than scouting. I reckon we could make a bridgehead out there. Think so, Jack?
The albino nodded.
Enough cover, if you give enough cover to make it. Get blasted from armory triple quick, and we got him. Get grins, maybe.
Downey shook his head.
Risky down here. Better if we can avoid it.
Make sure you sharpshooter.
Blake called 2 sec men over and ordered them to accompany a party of Ville dwellers to the armory and return with blasters. While they assembled the small party and headed off, he directed 2 more to join Rankine and Downey in laying down covering fire. Meanwhile, Jack and Dean made note of the best cover, both for themselves and for Blake. The wizened sec man turned to them, his face set in stone.
Okay, ready for my end. You?
Check. We head there and there.
He indicated 2 positions of cover, then pointed to the easiest spot.
And you there.
Blake smiled appreciatively.
You trying to tell me something?
He then turned to the 4 marksmen.
Okay, guys. Now or never.
The 4 marksmen assumed positions along the barricade and started to lay down a barrage of covering fire. The 3 others clambered over the barricade and began their zigzagging run for cover.
Hot pipe! This better work!
It was a long haul across the Ville from where Ant and Dee had met Ryan's party to where the nuke was stored, and the one-eyed warrior pushed the pace at which they crossed the distance. All the time, he was aware that Doc was the weak link, but he wanted the old man on hand when they reached the nuke. If it had been set running, then Doc's knowledge of pre-dark tech, as sketchy and clouded as it was, may prove useful. Mildred knew more about comps per se, but she hadn't had the first-hand experience of the totality concept that Doc had. That might make all the difference. They had to circumvent the tunnels and passages, avoiding the strife-torn center, and that made their task all the more difficult. Ryan cursed with almost every step he took, the twins keeping pace with him. Christy followed close behind. Mildred and JB hung back a little more, assisting Doc to keep pace.
Go on ahead. I swear by all that is holy that I shall not be far behind. Besides, you may have to chill a path to the nuke that will take time.
Ryan assented with a gesture, and in company with the twins and Christy, he increased his pace, allowing Mildred and JB to stay with Doc. The old man was right. He could assume that only Jenna and Harvey were with the missile, but they may have others with them. If so, it may take valuable time to dig them out before trying to shut off the nuke. Dee swerved down a smaller tunnel.
Down here. Shortcut. But be careful at the end. It brings us out on a sharp turn. Take it easy.
It was advice that Dee would have done well to heed. At the moment he reached the end of the small tunnel and stumbled around the blind corner, he came straight out on Harvey and Jenna, who were making their way back toward the barricades in the center. Like the twins, Harvey had decided to utilize the shortcut. The dreadlocked giant stumbled as he cornered and crashed to one knee, momentarily losing his grip on his shotgun. It was a vital fraction of a second before he looked up, directly into the barrel of Harvey's Colt Magnum carry. It was difficult to know who was more surprised by the encounter, the dreadlocked twin or the sec chief. Both stopped dead in their tracks. For one absurd moment, they were frozen. Then Jenna's shrill voice rent the air.
Kill the fucker!
Harvey didn't think. The voice made him jolt, his finger tightening and squeezing on the trigger as the twin began to raise the shotgun. The explosion from the snub-nosed blaster was deafening in the enclosed space, and the impact at such close range blew Dee backward into the mouth of the smaller passageway, where his already dead body cannoned into his brother.
No!
Without pause, Ant pushed past the inert form and out into the larger passage. Jenna, leaving Harvey to deal with things, had already brushed past him and was heading in the opposite direction without a backward glance. Harvey, stunned, looked after her. Things had happened just a bit too fast for him to react. He was still looking at Jenna as Ant emerged. Harvey turned his head back in time to see the twin bear down on him, spattered with the blood of his brother. His shotgun was raised. Harvey's own blaster was at a lowered angle, and in the fraction of a second it took him to bring it up, the dreadlocked Sekhman was on him. His shotgun rammed up against Harvey's throat.
You killed my brother, you fuck! Now it's your turn!
He squeezed the shotgun's trigger, the blast shaking him as the recoil and impact was contained between his own body and that of the Sek chief. It was enough to actually sever Harvey's head from his body, the bone and flesh of his throat and neck disintegrating under the charge. His nervous system spasmed in shock as it lost contact with his brain, and his finger squeezed again. The Colt Magnum Carry avenged his chilling by discharging into Ant's stomach before he had a chance to move away from the Sek chief. Ryan emerged, taking in the carnage in one swift glance, also noting the retreating Jenna. He turned to follow, but was stayed by Christie's hand on his arm.
Leave her to me, lover. I can deal with her tricks. You get the nuke.
Ryan agreed, but even as he did, the Titian-haired beauty was already speeding off in pursuit of Jenna, her blaster poised as she ran, already making up ground. One thing was for sure, there was no one else now between them and the nuke. He looked back to where Doc, Mildred, and JB were approaching.
Hurry, people. We've got a clear run, but who knows how much time.
Dean, Jack, and Blake had assumed their initial positions of cover, returning fire from the barricade and moving forward by degrees as the covering fire from behind drove the opposition down.
How many they got?
No more than a dozen blasters. Most of them probably low on ammo now.
Draw now, Dean.
The younger Carter knew exactly what the albino meant. He left cover and headed for an overturned barrow, deliberately slowing for a fraction of a second to show himself more clearly before executing a dive into cover. That fraction of a second drew three tempted marksmen into the open, showing themselves above the barricade. As the three men rose, so too did the albino with three leaf-bladed knives in his hand. In one fluid motion, the knives left his hand, flying with uncanny accuracy to their targets.
Only nine now.
On the other side of the opposition barricade, Vildwellers started to melt away into their living units, leaving only the Sek men standing, firing back, hopelessly outnumbered and certain to be chilled. The nine men exchanged glances. There was only one option. The suicidal Sek men mounted their barricade, firing at random. The volley of blaster fire that tore into them ended the conflict in a matter of seconds. All calibers of shot tore into them, cutting them down before they were even over the barricades. The noise was so great he had to repeat himself several times before the noise ceased, and the suddenly quiet air was filled with the spent smell of burned cordite.
It's over.
Jenna was gasping heavily for breath. The slim, small, muty woman had never had much time for building her strength and stamina, and even the relatively lightweight of the Uzi was slowing her. She threw it away as she ran, hearing it clatter to the floor behind her. She didn't need a blaster. She was confident of other abilities to save herself. Turning into a side corridor, she took shelter in a sleeping unit, throwing the curtain back and leaning heavily against a wall, trying desperately to catch her breath. Christie saw Jenna throw away the blaster and made herself ready as she, too, turned into the side corridor, slowing to a halt as she tried to determine which unit the woman had hidden herself in. Christie gripped her blaster with both hands, knowing she would need to have a steady grip before this encounter was over. She walked slowly down the corridor, glancing from side to side, then heard a sound from behind her.
Here.
Turning slowly, she saw Jenna standing by the entrance to one unit. She looked small and vulnerable until Christie looked into those raven eyes. the whole world seemed to disappear. Christy raised her blaster and prepared to fire.
You know you won't.
Christy felt the tendrils of darkness snake out and start to encircle her mind. The wave of